Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Thursday, May 23rd. Today, for our temperature episode, John Ingold and Michael Booth are talking about the latest in climate and health news. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun is partnering with multiple news outlets across the state to understand what is driving Coloradans this election year. What issues do you care about most as we head into the 2024 election? Let us know by filling out our survey at coloradosun.com/votervoices. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Kit Carson, an important figure in Colorado and the history of the American West, died at Fort Lyon on this day in 1868. Born in 1809 in Kentucky, Carson ventured west on the Santa Fe Trail at 17 and became a renowned fur trapper, roaming North America's western regions. He trapped across Colorado and used Taos as his operational base. Carson married Josefa Jaramillo in 1843 after the deaths of his first two wives. He served as a hunter at Bent's Fort, joined John Fremont's explorations, and fought in the Civil War, including at Glorieta Pass. After the war, he commanded Fort Garland and later moved to Fort Lyon, where he died shortly after escorting a Ute Treaty delegation to Washington, D.C. Carson's legacy survives in Colorado through various place names and a stained glass portrait in the state capitol. Before we continue, join the Colorado Sun on June 25th as Equity reporter Tatiana Flowers speaks with a panel about how they see mental illness falling through the cracks, what some solutions are or ways to address the issues, and more. The event is free and virtual. RSVP today at coloradosun.com/events. Next, our feature story.
Hello on this Thursday before Memorial Day, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the Colorado Sun podcast. And this week, as always on Thursdays, we are taking on topics from the temperature and from the intersection of health and climate. And I've got with my great partner, John Ingold, who writes primarily about health. How's it going, John? You got plans for the weekend?
No, keeping it pretty mellow. No real sports going on anymore in Denver worth following.
Unfortunately, yes, it was a rough weekend. Last weekend, we will be talking a little bit about people's driving plans on Memorial Day weekend as part of one of these stories. But John, first we're going to talk about there seems to be some kind of agreement between Anthem and Common Spirit about who's going to pay for what and who's included in their networks. So what's the latest on that, if you could bring us up to date?
Yeah, so if you are a person who has Anthem health insurance, you probably know way too much about this, way more about this than you wanted to know. But Anthem, which is one of the state's largest health insurers, and Common Spirit, which is one of the state's largest health systems or hospital systems, were in a bit of a contract tiff. They had a deal that expired on May 1st, and they didn't renew it or continue it. So effectively, Common Spirit hospitals became out of network for Anthem patients. And this, of course, is a big problem if you're somebody who has Anthem insurance and has been going to Common Spirit hospitals to receive treatment, or has been going to a Common Spirit primary care clinic or you know, some other kind of clinic. Suddenly now these are out of network or were out of network services, and you are going to have to pay a lot more for them unless you got some kind of special consideration based on your ongoing care needs. But that was itself really complicated, and people were reporting a lot of headaches trying to deal with that. So the negotiations kept going while patients were kind of suffering and slogging through this. And on Friday of last week, Friday evening, the two sides announced that they had reached a deal. So Common Spirit hospitals are now back in network. All Common Spirit facilities are back in network for Anthem members. And the care that anybody may have received during that gap at a Common Spirit facility is going to be retroactively billed at in-network rates. So kind of all's well that ends well, right? Except not really.
And what's the not really part? Actually, first of all, I want to get to the not really part, but since Common Spirit has been through the naming issues recently, can you talk about a few of the hospitals' names that people might recognize as they think about what hospitals this all this applies to?
Yeah, absolutely. So Common Spirit used to be a co-owner of the joint venture that was known as Centura. And a lot of Common Spirit owned the majority of hospitals in that joint venture. So a lot of the names you would be familiar with are St. Anthony Hospital in Lakewood, St. Anthony North, St. Anthony Summit up in Frisco. They own Mercy Hospital in Durango, Penrose and St. Francis Hospitals and St. Francis North in Colorado Springs. Probably 10 or so hospitals, 15 or so hospitals around the state.
Okay. So back to your cliffhanger, why are things maybe not all perfect and buttoned up?
Yeah. So the problem here is that ultimately, even though both sides, they were fighting over money, Common Spirit said they needed more money in order to be able to operate sustainably. Anthem said they were trying to hold prices down for their patients, for their members. They didn't want to have to absorb huge price increases at Common Spirit, which would have led to big premium increases and health insurance. So both sides claimed they were fighting for what was right for patients. The problem is that for patients themselves, being sort of caught in the middle of this, it's just an incredibly frustrating situation. You've potentially lost access to care, or you know, care suddenly become unaffordable, or you're worried that it's going to be unaffordable. You also, you might have delayed care, or you might have decided not to receive care that you needed to get because you were afraid of what the cost was going to be if you had to go out of network. And this ends up being especially acute sometimes in certain parts of Colorado when it comes to Anthem, because Anthem covers people in each of Colorado's 64 counties. And some of those counties, La Plata County, home to Durango, are places where there actually aren't a lot of hospital choices. It's not like living in Denver where you say, oh, well, that hospital's now out of network. I'll just go a few miles down the road to another hospital that now is in network. In Durango, if Mercy Hospital is out of network, you have to leave the entire community to go try and find a hospital. So it's something that created a lot of aggravation for patients. And you saw this really in reporting that news outlets did all across the state, where patients would be just telling reporters about their frustrations and their fears and their just real disappointment in how this turned out. And so what ends up lingering here is you have a deal, you know, things seem to be like stitched back together, but what ends up lingering here are just this sort of like bad feelings and resentment and just general grievance that the healthcare system is really not maybe working in a way that's respectful of patients.
And a reminder of the lack of control that contributes to all that stress and unhealthy reaction to all of this, which, you know, we've been talking for decades about, putting control in the hands of the consumer, giving consumers choice in healthcare as much as possible. But even if you're in a metro area that has more than one hospital right, you know, within your neighborhood or close enough to your neighborhood, you're not the one who gets to choose which hospital your surgery is going to be at. Your doctor's doing that and you're following their lead. And I just can't help but sympathize with all these consumers and patients who are feeling like they just don't have nearly as much control as the system's been promising them for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And the state, if you have an insurance plan that's regulated by the state, which not everybody does, because some people have insurance plans that are through their employers who happen to be large employers, so they get to be self-insured, or they can be self-insured if they want to be. Those types of plans aren't regulated by the state. But if you have one that is regulated by the state, there's something called network adequacy requirements. So the insurance plan that you're buying has to have an adequate provider network and hospital network for you to go visit. Now, in the metro area, this ends up being a lot simpler. And, you know, again, if you know, one healthcare system goes out of network for you, there's a decent chance that your insurer probably has another healthcare system within the Denver metro area that's in network. But going back to Durango or going up to Summit County, that may not be the case. So your network adequacy may be that you get the opportunity to drive outside of the county, which, you know, sometimes isn't always easy depending on the weather, depending on your life circumstances. So yeah, definitely something where patients just feel caught in the middle, to sort of watching these high level fights happening that people say are for their benefit, but ultimately, like, what they want for their benefit is to be able to walk in and receive care. So, Mike, I want to shift to you. You mentioned Big Long Weekend coming up, often the kind of weekend where people like to get out and hit the highway. And we could be seeing some higher gas prices coming to Colorado because of some environmental issues. So why don't we talk about that?
And crashing into, to use the wrong metaphor, the other problem that we've got right about this time of year, which is ozone increasing as it's finally warming up a little bit. At the end of May, we're now heading into ozone season, and all these things are related. So if you're planning some driving for a hike or for staying overnight in the mountains or heading east to see relatives over the three-day weekend, you are going to be looking at higher prices. Colorado's prices for gasoline have jumped, you know, more than a dozen cents a gallon in the last week or two. But the question is, why did that happen? Is it just the normal, they can jack up the prices a little bit for Memorial Day, and so they do? Is it that supply is going to be constrained a little bit with people driving more? Or does it have to do with the fact that the EPA is requiring the pumps to be putting out something called reformulated gas because of our ozone problem? We are in severe non-attainment on the Northern Front Range of the EPA's limits on ozone. Ozone is a toxic substance at ground level that hits people with asthma, causes breathing problems, can cause heart attacks and other heart problems, and has really been a problem on the Front Range. And we just have not been handling our problem and cutting back the amount of ozone causing emissions that we're putting into the air. So the EPA put us in the severe category. And under the Clean Air Act, that means that all the pumps in the Denver metro area and up and down the northern part of the Front Range have to sell reformulated gas starting June 1st. And it's already in the pumps because of just the way the supply and distribution works. So what are we paying extra for that reformulated gas? The EPA has put out studies saying that in other cities where they require reformulated gas, it only amounts to maybe 3 cents or a little bit more than that per gallon that can be attributed to this gas that takes a little bit different refining effort to create. The governor is very unhappy about this. He has said that he doesn't want the EPA to require this, that it's a big tax on consumers and a big burden on them for very little benefit in reducing ozone-causing emissions. The state is working on all kinds of other ways to reduce ozone that he supports, and therefore the EPA should give us a break and not require the reformulated gas. They say it may be up to 50 cents a gallon, obviously quite a difference. And there's only one major refinery in Colorado, and that's Suncor. We do bring in gasoline products from outside the state. EPA says there are people, as we speak, who are trying to get their permits approved to create larger distribution facilities for more kinds of gas that can compete with Suncor and keep the price down. Suncor did not respond to our questions this time around about how much they think that they can attribute the price increase to reformulated gas requirements. But the fact is that prices have crept up a little bit in the Denver metro area, especially in the last week or two. And consumers are going to be wondering where that came from and whether it's related to ozone.
So let's dive into this a little bit on the price increases. The governor obviously suggesting potentially 50 cents per gallon. Others are saying much less. Where does the truth lie in that? And how can you sort of assess the blame here?
There is an ongoing experiment that the EPA can point to. There is reformulated gas required in places where 25% of the U.S. population lives, because a lot of big cities, especially out east, have this problem and have been reporting, you know, their statistics, and gasoline prices are well kept track of all across the country. So the EPA's studies might carry a little more weight right now. It is the kind of thing that we will be able to see in real time. But then even the experts on the price of gasoline. Skylar McKinley, a friend of ours at AAA Colorado, who's really good with a lot of statistics, put them out and talks about where we are right now. We're really only about at the same point we were last year in terms of gas prices. So even if gas prices did go up related to reformulated gas, there are so many other factors that go into it. When Skylar and I were talking, they were just discovering the wreckage of the plane of the helicopter that was carrying the president of Iran. And that, when that news came out that he had died in a plane crash, that spiked Middle Eastern oil prices, that alone, because people wondered whether Iran's share of the world oil supply was now insecure and might lead to some price increases. Memorial Day driving leads to it. If Suncor has a problem, as they might have had in the past, God forbid, but they might, with shutting off their pumps and their trucks that carry gasoline all throughout the Front Range, that would cause a supply problem that could spike prices. So what the EPA has said is the governor has asked for a waiver, a formal waiver from the Clean Air Act requirements. The EPA has denied the waiver for now, but left it open is the phrase that they use, meaning that if there's just a small price increase that's because of, you know, other things that are going on in the market, the EPA is not going to grant the waiver and stop the reformulated gas program. But if there's an actual supply shock that can be attributed to a fire or some other physical problem at one of the big refineries in the West, some other kind of price shock that is attributed to a supply emergency, then they will grant the waiver. And they have that option. They could do it within 24 hours of a big incident happening, and that they hope that that would then put other gasoline back in the system and lower the price. So it's kind of an open question. EPA says it's watching very carefully. They're very well aware of it. EPA is communicating on this much more openly and much more precisely than they have in the past. So I guess that's a bonus for the public. And the governor's office will keep the lines of communication open and probably keep hammering away on this issue, because for Democrats and for consumers who are worried about inflation, having gas prices spike at this highly charged political moment in America is never good for Democratic politicians.
Well, let's talk about the environmental health issue as well. Why is it bad that Colorado's in ozone non-attainment? Is this just a bean counter environmental regulation?
I would definitely argue no. Lots of scientists and the EPA and a lot of environmental groups and even the state government would argue no. It's definitely a real thing. And they say that they're working really hard to try to get those ozone limits back under control and what Colorado is putting out. They wouldn't be going through all the things that they're doing, requiring the oil and gas industry to do all these different things, giving people $6,000, $10,000, $15,000 off an electric car if they're especially willing to turn in a gasoline-powered vehicle. They wouldn't be going through all this if ozone wasn't a real problem. Ozone does cause measurable health hazards. Places that have higher ozone have higher incidence of all kinds of measurable medical problems. So there's a real reason it should be worked on. Again, then you're at the margins of what is the right limit? Is there a difference between 75 parts per billion and 71 parts per billion? And how much public money, how much of our effort should go into bringing those numbers down slightly? We've talked about in the podcast before that they think that small changes are important enough that they are willing to alter what gasoline-powered lawn equipment is available in Colorado and what their governments and the institutions are using in terms of gasoline-powered lawn equipment, leaf blowers, and things like that. It contributes a small amount, but it's a measurable amount, and if we could get rid of that, that would make a difference. So all of these things that people are arguing about are worth fighting on ozone. Whether reformulated gas will contribute to a cut in ozone, that is more debatable. EPA says, yes, it is worth it. And overall, we've seen a decrease that's worth pursuing under these rules. State says, no, we'd rather concentrate on other things, but the Clean Air Act and the EPA keeps pointing to it, doesn't leave them any wiggle room. So that's where we are at the moment. We'll follow. And if there does happen to be a waiver and a big price increase, we'll talk about it again.
Yeah. And obviously, as you mentioned, in Colorado here, we love our outside time. Definitely coming up on a long holiday weekend, we all want to be able to get out and enjoy the outdoors. And if you want to have air outside that doesn't make you want to die.
Yes, I mean, the ozone alerts are a real thing, and they've been happening more often in the last few summers. And they do tell you, you know, keep anybody with a health issue inside, keep your kids inside, keep the pets inside, and don't go for your own afternoon jog when ozone hits a certain level. So it does have real-time impacts in Colorado.
Yeah. All right, Mike, we'll appreciate you following that story, and we will check back with you on it later in the summer. Everybody, thank you for listening. Again, if you are interested in our annual ideas festival called Sunfest, really awesome time, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of very interesting panel discussions and speakers. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to coloradosun.com/sunfest. and there's a discount for members. So if you're not a member and you want to sign up, that's a good reason to do it. So have a good weekend, everybody, and we will see you back here next week.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. One lane of Highway 50 on a bridge over Blue Mesa Reservoir could be open for intermittent traffic by July 4th. The state transportation director told locals at a meeting Tuesday in Gunnison four critical repairs needed to be completed for the bridge to partially open. Those repairs include using thick steel plates that are 30 inches wide and 27 feet long to reinforce defects in welds made when the bridge was built in 1961. Engineers have found 183 defects in welds during an intense assessment that began after the bridge was shut down April 18th after a 3-inch crack was discovered. Colorado fentanyl deaths continue to rise, and the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency has a new approach to combat the problem. At least 1,000 people died from fentanyl poisoning in 2023, up 18% from the year before. Operation Cash Out launched in Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, and Montana by the DEA and IRS. Earlier this month, around 200 money service businesses and financial institutions that aid in sending money to people in other countries were asked to cooperate in an investigation into the cash flowing to support the illegal opioid market. Officials say fentanyl constitutes a multi-billion dollar enterprise for Mexican cartels. Denver has launched an ambitious program to support migrants, and hundreds crammed into a convention center for orientation this week. The plan is a major shift from the days to weeks-long shelter stays that Denver has been offering migrants over the past year. Denver's new procedure includes 6 months of rental and food assistance for an apartment, work and certification trainings, free computers and phones, and help with asylum applications. Many migrants must wait 6 months under federal law to get a work permit after applying for asylum. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name is Jason Blevins. I'm the outdoors writer here at the Colorado Sun, co-founder of the Colorado Sun. I'm on the weekly podcast with David Krause every Monday. And I also write a weekly newsletter. Comes out every Thursday. It's called The Outsider. Take a look at each issue has sort of early glimpses of stories. I got stuff on housing, high country business, high country culture, public lands, public land managers, kind of just about anything kind of interesting and happening on the Western Slope. Try to get into it. Ski industry stuff. I invite you to come check it out. It's one of the many newsletters we have at the Colorado Sun. Head to coloradosun.com/join and become a member and support the Colorado Sun. Appreciate you guys listening. Thanks.